Stand up and pray together this morning. Lord, thank you for this day that was not promised yesterday. That would be enough right there. I think that's exactly where we should leave it. Thank you for this day that was not promised yesterday. Now I have a chance to know more about God, to have God in my life even deeper into my heart. I have a chance to see God's hand in my life because he gave me this day. So we will rejoice and have a wonderful time. And I don't know about you, but I am a believer. In Jesus' name. Give me an amen, everybody.
Amen.
There you go. That's so funny. I love that.
Waiting for the words.
And she's just trying, and she's got one coming up that she has off. So you pray for Lily that Walmart will give her a different schedule, because she likes sitting right here. She likes hearing it about God that she never heard before. And as we do this song, I'm going to ask you to stand and with us, and we'll send this out to Brian Reynolds, who's not here today. I ask each and every one of you to call him individually later and tell him we're sorry that he missed this song. Happy St. Patrick's Day to all our Irish brothers and sisters.
But come in bed when summer
Give him praise, church.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for making this your home this morning. I pray that you receive something today you did not expect and something that will carry you through the rest of your life. Pray with me this morning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive our those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. Be seated and give God praise and have a wonderful day. Thank you. And God said, let there be light. I want to just finish up at the Bible study. How many were at the Bible study? We had a great Bible study. We really had a good time. We talked about the unpardonable sin. We talked about willfully sinning and those things that cannot be forgiven by God. The unpardonable sin is not in the Bible. It's a headline over one of the paragraphs. But it's simply rejecting God all your life. It's simply rejecting anything to do with God, resisting everything that has to do with anything. Not giving God a sin. That's the unpardonable sin. And people say, well, want to know more about it. But here's the bottom line. Here's what I should have told you at the Bible study. And as I was praying about it, this is what God told me. Here's Brother David. He was also talking about willfully sinning. You will not commit the unpardonable sin. None of you in this room today will commit the unpardonable sin. None of you in this room today will willfully sin against God. And here's why. Besides the Spirit of God inside of you, the fact that you think about it tells you that you'll never do it. You see, the people who do it don't think about it. The people who commit that sin, the unpardonable sin, never think about it. They don't give God any credit. They don't give God any place in their life. So that's their reward. But you have come to church. You have opened your Bible. You have talked about Jesus. Jesus is in your heart, so you cannot commit that sin because you think about it. I don't want you to worry about it. I don't want you to stress, because there is nothing like that in the Bible for believers. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is how much condemnation? None. Zero. Nada. So you give that to God, and that's what you carry with you. Amen? And I'm so glad we can share that today. We had a wonderful study. We had some amazing discussions. Okay, y'all ready to read? All right, Brother David, good to see you, Dave. You're sitting next to Dale. I see that, dude, right there. I'm glad this church, I have to tell you, I'm glad this church isn't any bigger. But the people be sitting in the green. They would. I mean, if you could find a seat back behind the seat that you're sitting in, you'd sit in it. Now look at Brother Greg right up here in front with me. That's what I like. Me and Greg. I can see you back there. At the baseball stadium, they call it the cheap seats. Hallelujah. I will lift my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. You read that psalm every day. Wake up and read that. That got to give you confidence to face whatever you're facing. He's going to preserve your soul from all evil. He is with you. He understands our flesh, but he loves you that much. That's the love of God. And that's what's so important about God and Jesus. There is no name bigger than Jesus. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. How many names bigger than Jesus? None. He is who he said he is, and he is with you. Boy, you catch on to that. And we're all going to be excited here at Second Congregational. Brother John, it's a prayer answered to see you in church this morning. Thank you, my friend. God bless you. How many times did the rooster crow? For those of you that weren't at the study, that was probably the greatest single quiz question I've ever given in my life. The question was, how many times did the rooster crow? And everybody at the Bible study said, 3 times. They were so sure it was 3 times, that was it. 1 time. How many times did Peter deny Jesus? 3 times. Keep trying, it'll work. Now, Paul's writing the book of Philippians. Here's your first quiz for today. And by the way, that's Brother Roger walking in. Everybody say hi to Roger. He came today bearing gifts. Him and his wife Trudy bought coffee for us for downstairs. We thank him for that. But Trudy is homesick, so everybody will pray for Trudy that she feels better when he gets home. Amen. But he came all the way by himself today. So we want to make sure that we welcome him. Hallelujah. Thank you. Philippians. What is Paul's main focus in the introduction to the book of Philippians? Is it humbleness and forgiveness? Is it thanksgiving and prayer? Or is it comfort and peace? His main focus. How many think it was humbleness and forgiveness for the Philippians? How many think thanksgiving and prayer was it? Or how many think comfort and peace was Paul's main focus? His main focus in the introduction to Philippians was thanksgiving and prayer. There you go. That's what he's right. He wants thanksgiving and prayer. What woman in the Old Testament does Peter tell women to believe, to be like? What woman in the Old Testament does Peter say women should be like? Was it Esther? Queen Esther. She was wonderful. Was it Sarah, Abraham's wife? Or was it Ruth? What a beautiful story of Ruth. How many think it was Esther that Peter said women should be like? How many think it was Sarah, Abraham's wife? How many think it was Ruth that... What woman in the Old Testament does Peter tell the woman to be like? Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, whose daughter you are. Whose daughter you are. Be like Sarah. Ready? Are you ready for this question? What was Jesus' physical and emotional state before he was led into the desert to be tempted? What was Jesus' physical and emotional state before he was led into the desert to be tempted? Was he weak and hungry? That's A. Was he fatigued? B. Or was he full of the Holy Spirit? C. How many think his physical and emotional state before he was led into the desert was weak and hungry? How many think it was fatigued? How many think it was full of the Holy Spirit? You guys, there you go. It was full of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it was before he was led to see. You got it. Give me a that was a good one. Yeah. One more today. One more. I love these. This is one of my favorite parts of church. I have as much fun as you do. Who was instructed by God to lead the people after Moses' death? Who was instructed by God to lead the people? Was it Aaron, Moses' brother? Was it Jacob? Or was it Joshua? How many think it was Aaron who was instructed by God to lead people after Moses' death? How many people think it was Jacob? Anybody want to say Joshua? How many say Joshua? Numbers 27:20. Moses took Joshua. What's the first book after the Torah? The first five books? What's the first book after that? Joshua. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, but I shall meditate on it day and night and do all that's written within. And then guess what I'll have? Good success, and I shall have prosper. Joshua was called. If I believe right, Brother Aaron passed before Moses did. If I believe right, maybe I'm wrong. Somebody can fact check that later. There you go, brother. Thank you, brother. Facebook. I don't do Facebook. I have a million and one reasons why I don't do Facebook. I was doing my stuff. I'm on a multi. I have to tell you, I'm over on overload. The more I get into the Bible, the more I'm overload. So bear with me, please, because I've got so much I want to share, and I got you one day a week. I wish we had church 3 days a week. But I've been on overload trying to get into, and as doing my studies, and I read something which to me is a pastor's nightmare. I was reading a beautiful study about something, and not that I agreed or disagreed, but then I got to a paragraph that was in my study, and this is why pastors don't really want people to go to different churches and hear different doctrines, because some things are added in, amen? And then when you come back, let me read it to you so you all know what I mean. I would never suggest, this is the article, and in the article it said, I would never suggest that we ignore any part of Scripture. Amen? That's good, right? And then he goes on, all of Scripture is God-breathed and authoritative for our lives. How much of the Scripture? Good, right? So all the Scripture, and we that we don't ignore, and we never suggest that we ignore any part. Amen? Okay, that's good. And the next word is yet. Yet. And it says, as you know. As you know. Now it's saying, now you are, it's like it's a fact, because it's saying, as you know, the books of the Bible were not written directly for us and our culture. I never suggest that we ignore any part of the Bible. All of Scripture is God breath. Yet, as you know, the books of the Bible were not written directly for us and our culture. They were written for specific communities of people who lived 2,000 years ago or more, in a culture vastly different from our own. Faithful understanding and obedience to Scripture requires, therefore, that we wrestle with the wide culture gaps between biblical times and our own. Often we have to translate not just the words, but the significance and application of the words. That's what I mean by you got to stand on that. You got to get grounded in the book, because the first two lines, everybody's on fire, absolutely. And then it starts with opinion. And it starts with telling you that you know this already, which you shouldn't know, or you should know that that's not true. That this book is, what did he say? I'm the same yesterday, today, and when? I'm the same. He said he's the same. Nothing in this book shall be changed according to Revelation. Nothing in this book should be added. Amen? So he's telling us all this, yet this person on this website that I was doing my study had this paragraph. Thank you, Lord. I just want you to understand that you need to get grounded in this book, because there's nothing confusing in this book. That to me is totally confusing. Because if you question this, then you're going to question that. And if you question that, you're going to question something else. Amen? Everything in the Bible is confirmed. Everything that you say, everything that I preach to, you come up to me and say, where did you get that? I will show you in multiple places in the Bible where we get that from. But the lessons in this Bible are for today. Say that with me. They're for today. Like, this person is assuming that God didn't see this coming. Somehow God didn't know we were going to have telephones and we weren't going to have computers. And somehow God didn't know that we were going to have airplanes and trains and trucks and all this stuff. Somehow. That's what you're saying when you say you can't, we have to go to a different culture. So pray with me this morning, Lord, that we gather under your wings. Your wings. You've made it simple. We gather under your wings to know the truth, because the truth not only sets us free, but the truth heals our body, heals our mind, and heals our spirit. Get with me. Underneath the wing of God, underneath the wing of Jesus, you stand underneath that wing. The only way to really stand under the wing is to know the Word, to know God, to know Jesus. It's okay. It's good to love Him, and it's good to worship Him, and it's good all those wonderful feelings. But when you really know Him, you get like your pastor, absolutely obsessed with wanting to teach you the Word of God, amen, to wanting to tell you something that will benefit you. Guess when? Today. I want you to be benefited today, and this is the only book I have to do that with. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. So hear our prayer, Lord, that we get in this Word together every day, in Jesus' name. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Give God praise. Peace. How many know that peace is priceless? How many know that peace cannot be purchased? How many know that peace heals? How many want to be healed today? It's the peace of God. Listen to what Paul said in Philippians. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. The secret of being content. is Jesus. The secret of being content is healing. And you want to be healed? You get your body in a place of peace. You get your body content. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I got more on there, but I'm going to get started here. Thank you. We'll finish that later. Lord, I pray that they receive this message today. And I pray that even though they've heard this message or they heard the story before, that today something new gets added to it. Today their understanding of this word and this story reaches them like it never did before. How many have ever heard of the story of David and Goliath? Y'all have? Praise the Lord. Well, he's not going to do that again, is he? David and Goliath. Thank you, Lord. 1 Samuel 17, I'm going to start with verse 4. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. Whew! Big guy, amen? He's a big guy. Say that with me. He's a big guy. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel. To who? And he said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul?" And he says, choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. Isn't that wonderful? But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel, how much of Israel? All Israel heard these words from the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Wow. They were greatly what? These were the warriors. These were the battlers of Israel. And there was one man. How many? One man who was challenging them in a battle. Said, "Send one person down to me, and if he beats me, I will serve you." But isn't that would be wonderful if a war could be like that. If two countries wanted to go to war and we sent one guy from each country so that thousands of people didn't have to die. But they were greatly a what? Afraid. Afraid. The men of Israel. Thank you, Lord. So David arose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took the things and went to Jesse as commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. So David's going out to the battle. Amen. There's David. His father sends him out. Go take some stuff to your brothers and everybody in the battle. And he shows up to see that. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" You should be giving him praise right now. You should be excited when you read that. Listen to what this boy is saying. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who is defying God today? Amen? You should say that. Who are these people that are talking bad about God? Here's David saying, "Who is this guy and what shall be done for him?" And the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, isn't that funny? Anybody got family to disagree with you? Anybody got any friends who don't believe in your Christian spirit, the Bible? Anybody got friends coming against your Christian attitude or coming against the word? Isn't that funny? Then Eliab, his oldest brother, heard what he spoke to the man, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. How about that? His own family. How about that? "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness?" Well, isn't that wonderful? I know your pride and your insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. Here's a secret. Did David, I know you all fight with family members and brothers and sisters and people who disagree with you, but listen to what David did. Listen to how he approached that and how he got through it. David said, "What have I done now?" That's it. That's the end of that. Is there not a cause? Then he turned. That's exactly what you do. He turned from him towards another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first one did. He turned around and talked to other people. And they said the same. What are you doing here? Why are you here? But wait a minute. Time out. We just heard that the whole nation was afraid. Amen. I just read it to you. That the whole warrior, everybody there to fight the battle, they were what? Afraid. So why are they mad at him? Why are they guilty of him? Because they're ashamed now? Because this guy's coming and saying, what's going on? That uncircumcised guy over there is talking about our God. What are you doing? And they're mad at him. They're not mad at the guy now. They're mad at his brother. They're mad at another fellow who's coming to tell the word. Say, hey, what are you doing? Praise the Lord. What have I done now? Thank you. Whew. Now the words which David spoke were heard. They reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. So Saul, hey David, come here. Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistines. That's what David said. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail you because of him, because of that Philistine. He's telling the king, don't worry about him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Hallelujah. Somebody's going to fight for God. Isn't that amazing? And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against the Philistine to deal with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. He's a man of war. You're just a youth. But all the other men of war of Israel, what are they?
Afraid.
My granddaughter said something to me last time we were down there, and it sort of took me back, but I've learned that it's an expression that kids use today. And this is exactly this time where I can use this expression. You know what David should have said? You don't know my life. And that's Maddie said that to me. You don't know my life. And I was like, but I understand. They didn't know. The king didn't know. He said, you don't know my life. You're a youth. What have you ever done? Why should I trust you with that? He was, you don't know my life. You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You are a youth. And he a man of war from his youth. But wait a minute, nobody else wants to fight him. But David said to Saul, you ready? Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it, struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by the beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing as he defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord will be with you. Wow. You all know that part of the story, right? Sort of the rest of the story. What did the Bible, what did they call Goliath? A champion. He was a champion. There's other things out there bigger than us, and we look at them like they're champions. A champion went out. He was a lion. And all were afraid. What lion is in your way today? What lion stands in front of you? What bear? What champion stands in front of you today that you're afraid? I ask you that from your heart. What's standing in front of you today that makes you afraid? What is the mountain? What mountain is holding you back? What trial, temptation, or issue? That was all this champion was to David. Just another battle. He saw that man, and because David, we didn't know his life, and they didn't know, he saw this man as just another stepping stone, just to get rid of him. He knew he had faith in himself, and he had faith in who? Come on now. And faith in who? God. All this champion was to David was just another battle to be won. An empty challenge. And why was that? Why was David so ready? Why was David so sure? Why do we have to be sure? Why do we have to be ready? What is it that made David ready? What is it? One word. The word is prepared. David was prepared to face this guy. He was prepared because of everything he did with God. He gave God the glory for the lion. He gave God the glory for the bear. I don't know about you, but when I go in the woods, I don't want no bear chasing me. Even though I can run faster than Deacon Chuck, it don't matter to me. Because I'd have to turn back and try to help him. And you know, that never works. don't know about you, but I don't want to see a lion because I'm... But David saw the lion, saw the bear, and he killed them. Because that was his faith. That was his job. He did his job, and he did it faithfully unto God. And I know at work you got lions and tigers and bears, oh my. And I know in life you got them. And I know you got all these problems that we all deal with in life. But to David, they were just things to get through and get over. Because God was with him. He was prepared to face this battle. We must be prepared always. I love this scripture. I mean, not scripture, but I love this quote from Wigglesworth. He said, "There are no great victories without great battles." I read that the first time and I understood. There are no great victories in your life without the great battle. You have to have the great battle before you have the great victory. But with David, every victory was great. With David, there was no mountain. There was no champion. There was just him and God behind him to do his job. He was doing his job. He had things coming against him at work, and he did his job. He went to his brothers, and he got attacked by his family, but he did his job. He killed Goliath. He did what he said he was going to do when nobody else could do it, when nobody else would do it. And he stood on faith because he was prepared. And you're facing things today, you don't know, but I'm telling you, be prepared. Learn how to be content with what you have and learn how to be content in life and you'll have peace, you'll have healing. That peace that you all want is right there. God is right there saying, "I'm giving it to you, but you're throwing it back at me." That peace that surpasses your understanding is where your body begins to heal. You say healing is impossible. That's a lie from the pits of hell. That's what the devil wants you to think. But God said your peace that surpasses your understanding will heal you. David knew that. Sometimes we talked about this the other night. You got to get out of your own bubble. Sometimes you got a bubble and you're floating around and everything's okay in it because you got a little bit of control. But the second you get out of that bubble, you fall apart. See, but you got to get out. The only way to get great victories is to get out of that bubble. The only way to grow and to be like David is to get out of that bubble. He was happy with the sheep. And if the lion took one, he didn't care. But he did care. See, he got out of the bubble. He went to that war with Goliath and he got out of another bubble because he was prepared. Thank you, Lord. What is it? What is it in your life today that would make your life perfect? Anybody? Anybody? What is it in life today that would make your life perfect? Anybody have a perfect life? I don't. But what is it? What is it? Would, if I gave each and every one of you $100,000, would that make your life perfect? For a minute. For a minute. Exactly. For a minute. And then the lie begins. You see, you get the $100,000, you think you're perfect, and you turn around, you still got this problem, you still got that problem, you still got this. So all of a sudden, the money just kind of dissipates in your hand. I saw something this week. I have to be honest, I saw something this week. I saw two people. And I'm not saying that what they faced isn't real, but here's what I saw. Two people who could wake up this morning and say, "What do you want to do?" So, well, let's go to Alaska for lunch. Okay. Or what do you want to do? Let's buy a new boat. Okay. Let's go buy. Or they could, let's go buy three cars. One for you, one for me, and we'll give one away. They have nothing in life. They don't worry about an electric. How many pay the electric bill every week, month? You all pay the electric bill. You pay the heat bill. You put gas in your car. And when you need new tires, you got to go and buy. These people had none of that. Let me repeat that. They have none of that. And you know what I say? God bless them. Isn't that wonderful? I have nothing. I'm so happy for them and anybody who has that kind of life. Yet there they sat. There they sat talking about depression and talking about somebody coming against them, saying something they didn't, that shook their world. And I start to think, Lord, if they can't be happy, then how am I supposed to make everybody happy? And God said, it's contentment. It's peace. That's your happiness. If you're happy today, if you woke up today and got dressed, you should be thrilled with what God's doing in your life. If you want more, how many want more for God? Then you got to get out of your bubble. I'm sorry. David had problems at work, but he didn't let it get him. He went over the problem. David had problem with his family, but he didn't let it get him. He got over the problem because he trusted God. These people, sometimes you want to just say, "Are you?" But you wake up today and everything that you want, you can have. I'll tell you, that causes a whole different world of problems. Amen? A whole different world of ideas. Because here's one thing it doesn't do. It doesn't heal their family. If their baby got sick, all the things they have doesn't heal it. Amen? If anything happened, nothing. Nothing would be enough. Nothing. But we sit here, and I know we all have needs, and I know we have desires, but David is telling us, and Paul is telling us, to learn how to be content. Now, your needs are real. Amen? My needs are real. My bride and I are going through something today, and maybe she'll share with you later, praying for our son Teddy. It's just... Nothing's bad, just because God's in control. But everybody needs prayer. We all need prayer to stand up strong. Your needs are real. Your issues are real. Your fears and your doubts, they are already real. I'm not saying they aren't, but so is your God. My Lord, so is your God. All these things you're complaining about and whining about are real, but so is your God. David said, I'm prepared to fight this champion. He wasn't a champion. Your problems aren't champions. I tell you what, if you wrote down all the things that you thought were champions that you've overcome in your life, I bet the list would be pretty long. Issues at work, at home, with his brothers. His adversaries were real. His faith, his trust, his knowledge of truth became his strength. The only one needed to change facing any battles, are you ready? I'm sorry. The only one that needs to change is you. You need to change. Not for the, you guys are great, but if you want more, you got to change. I tell you another little story, please. My bride puts out vitamins for me every day. She puts them on the table, vitamins for me every day. 3 or 4 vitamins and 2 gummies, Walter. And the other night we're having dinner and she's upset because I didn't take them. And you know what? She's right. But you know what I did? And I just, you know, every time I get into this book, something inside me is changing more and more every single day. I can't even, I pray you believe that. I got up, I gave her a kiss, and I went downstairs and I took my vitamins. It took me 2 minutes. 2, maybe 1.5. And I came upstairs, thank you for that. That's called piling on. When a man's confessing a sin, it's not good to pile on. You know who had to change? Me. Because trying to do good. So I changed. You learn something new, and you change, and maybe that's a good change. Sometimes it doesn't work, and you just say, well, this isn't working for me. Say, okay, we'll try something else. But the fact that the only person that has to change is you. You have to rise up. If somebody at work is bugging you, rise up. Be better than they are. Do more than they assume that you would do. Do a better job than they. Get it off of them. Make it about how good you can do. You got problems with your family and your family. Just stand up and show them your faith. Show them your love and your compassion. Show them how you can be forgiving. What a word. Amen. God's not concerned about how much money we have or how much wealth we have. He's worried about how much compassion we have, how much mercy we show, and how much peace that we have. He said, I'm going to go away so your joy may be what? Full. He wants your joy to be full. Anybody here that doesn't have joy full, you should go to God and say, how do I get it? And he said, read my word. Trust in me. Do your job unto me. Love everybody like I love you. And then you'll get this peace. And all of a sudden you'll get this healing in your body. You'll get it through your heart. You'll get it through your mind. You'll start feeling stronger. You won't fight with your husband. You won't fight with your wife. You'll actually realize, hey, this person's trying to do something nice for me. Why am I aggravating her by not taking the vitamins? It took me 1.5 minutes to take care of that. And now that's a beautiful part of our home. You see, my little change, although it just made my house happier, it made peace come into my house. See, and that joy is addictive. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. David worked hard, did not let himself get distracted, because that's what that noise is, and worried and afraid. Those do not come from God. His focus is in his life on God, at work, at home. He was prepared. No different than you and me, prepared. Okay, here's the part you might have missed in this story that also I want you to understand is addictive. Notice, how many know that David won the battle? Okay, he won the battle. Was anybody with him?
No.
Why weren't they with him? They were what? They were afraid. We get afraid in the battle. This battle's too big. They got too much money. We can never fight these people. The corporations are too big. We're afraid of a champion. If you read a little bit further, you'll notice one thing. After David beat the giant, what happened? Everybody came along. Everybody got excited. The warriors got excited. They went down and plundered the tents. All of a sudden, they were with David. Because of what he did, because he did what they couldn't do or they were afraid to do, now they follow him. You stand on the word of God no matter how hard it takes, and when you win that battle, people will follow you. People will come to hear you. People will want to talk to you because you've over. You understand what I'm saying? These people were afraid. They didn't want any part of it. But David wins the battle, and now I'm on his team now. They don't want to go and plunder everything. Everybody else became brave. He took them along with him. They had a change because of him. They changed because of one thing he did. All of a sudden, they weren't afraid anymore. He did not do it for them. That's the part. He didn't do it for them. He didn't even really do it for himself. He did it for God. Yet when he acted on his faith, it had an effect on everyone, including those who spoke the loudest against him. Understand this. After the victory, even those who spoke against him had to follow him. Amen? When you stand up for God, when you do things right in the Word, people are going to have to follow you, and they're going to have to be a part of it. Even those who speak up the loudest against you today. Hallelujah. Thank you for that. Amen. Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servants there. Wow. He wasn't David there. He won the battle with the false prophets. But when Jezebel heard what happened, she threatened him. That's a champ. After all he did, this person, another thing happened in his life, and this woman says, "I'm going to come and get you. I'm after you." Now, this man of God saw and did everything that God told him to do, and then Jezebel says, "Really? Well, you better tell him that everything he did and everything more, I'm coming after him." And that's it. And he was what? Afraid. Something was coming against him. He should have known better. Come on. He heard, then Jezebel sent a messenger saying to Elijah, "So let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of those by tomorrow about this time." I would have went right to her and said, "What do you want? Here I am. What do you want? What are you going to do? Because you can't do anything." Praise the Lord. So Elijah says to God, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken you, your covenant, Lord, and torn down your altars." He's saying, "I've been very zealous for the Lord of God of hosts, for everybody else has forsaken. Everybody else has forsaken you. Nobody's following the word. They tore down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Want some cheese with that wine? I alone, I've done all this. We look at our church today, we were a little bit more, we're going to grow again, but we look around and say, we're a little small church, so I alone, right? We're not alone. You see what he's saying? He's afraid. So I alone. Listen to what he tells God. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. God says, "You don't know my life." Thank you, Lord. God says to Elijah, "Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knee has not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." We got to stand. We got to believe. We got to have faith. We got to understand, like David. We got to have that, be prepared. Things are coming against us, absolutely. Things are coming against your life, things in your life you want to take care of. But you got to understand that God knows each and every issue. He's with you. You got to be prepared to face them. Sometimes you have to stand alone with God. And sometimes that's a great place to be when it's just you and God. Because give God a chance to talk to you. He doesn't want to talk to noise. He wants to talk to you. Elijah was afraid because he thought he was alone. And God didn't get mad at him, didn't yell at him, scream at him, and he just said, I have saved 7,000 men who have not bowed their knee to Baal. God is telling us this morning, I've got Christians all over the world ready to fight. I need people who will stand up for me, stand up for my word, and stand on my word, and show the world what God can do and what God wants to do. He wants us to be prepared like David. He wants us to be ready and be faithful like David. He doesn't want us to be like Elijah, that every time the wind blows, we start to run. Because he's taken care of so many champions before us, he's going to take more. Those champions are just trials and tribulations from you know where and from what the pits of hell. So you stand with God because God already overcame that battle. God won that battle, but he's still here for a little while to try to poke us and try to edge us and try to make us have some pain. But you see, when you give it to God and you have that peace that surpasses understanding, the next thing you know, your body's healed. And when you trust God, you don't get angry. And when you don't get angry, you don't say foolish things. You just lean on the Lord. And when you win the battle, just like David, listen to this again. This is the story that I think gets missed. When you win the battles, they all followed him. They will follow you. People who have come against you, the Bible said that. Even those who spoke the loudest against him walked behind him and went and plundered all the goods. They followed him. They lived. They believed him. But it took David to stand. And we're not alone, amen? We're not alone today. We have this book, this Bible, and we have this God in our lives. And it's a great thing to have. We have victory all around us all the time. So when temptation and trials come, we don't look at them as something not to overcome. We look at them as just another hill to climb with the Lord. And each and every hill that we climb with the Lord gives us faith to climb higher hills. And then we get that great battle and we get that great victory. And all of a sudden, there's no mountain in front of you anymore because God is right with you laying that mountain down. Give him praise and give him glory. That's the story of David and Goliath. Take my vitamins. Was that easy to make my bride happy? How about that? Your wife or your husband wants to do something for you, do it. Make her happy. When you make her happy or him happy, you make everybody happy. Who wants to be happy? I want to be happy. I want to have joy. I want to have peace. And something so silly, and there's things in your life, I guarantee you, that you could change in a second that would make your partner or your friends happy. Praise the Lord, it's us. I want to be like David. I want to be David. I want to be prepared. I want my church to be prepared. That means I want you to be prepared. I want this church to be on fire and strong in the Lord. I want people to see you. What church do you go to? You say Second Congregational. Why? Because we're being fed the Word of God and it's changing our lives. Because God has shown me things that I never thought possible. Because the pastor said, open up and let him in. Break the bubble and let him in. Amen? That's God. We have Jesus. Name above all names. Name above all names. What greater champion do you want in your life? He says, I am with you always. I am with you always. I gave you my word. I gave you the word to read. I gave you the inspiration. There's nothing in that book that doesn't pertain to us today, on this day in March of 2021. Nothing. Anybody tells you that, you just say that's a lie from the pits of hell because my God is speaking to me today and he's speaking to me through that word. I don't want to change that word. I want to know that word. I want to live that word. I don't want anybody changing it for me because I want to live like God wants me to live, not like man wants me to live. Hallelujah. And he did it for us. Jesus came and did this for us once for all. Some people even blame the Jews for his death. That's foolish. He said, nobody takes my life. I give it freely. He came for this purpose. Nobody is to blame except all of us because he came to save us on that cross once for all, giving his life for his children. And as he broke the bread and blessed it, he said, eat and do this in remembrance of me. So this morning, with all your heart, do this in remembrance of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, forgive us for our iniquities of this week. Forgive us, Lord, that we didn't see that you were with us when we spoke what we spoke, or we did what we did, or we acted like we did, Lord. Show us, Lord, that we can be better and we can do better, so we focus on you. Lord, that we are the ones that need to change and be stronger like David. David was prepared. He didn't face that battle like a fool. He didn't face it like he didn't know. He knew. He was prepared for that battle. And he's telling us we just simply need to be prepared for those battles that we face. Sometimes they might seem like a mountain. Sometimes it might be like a lion or a bear. But God said, I will make a way. You just be at peace. Paul says to learn how to be content with and without. That contentment will bring you joy and will bring you peace and will bring you healing from God. I believe that. So Lord, forgive us today and let us receive this, and let us just be a new start today, a new morning, a new hour to be with you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The simplicity that is Christ. He loves us. Greater than we can ever imagine what love really means, but he loves us like that. Forgives us and holds us and guides us and leads us and protects us. He's looking for those who will stand up for him. Not in a battle where we have to fight, but in spirit. Showing them what it means to be a Christian. Showing them the mercy that a Christian holds and the forgiveness that we hold and the acceptance that we hold. Not what the world's going to tell everybody about Christianity, but what we know about our God and our Lord Jesus. We need to just be that. Be that with your loved ones, your family, and your friends. God will make a way, and you'll take others with you at each victory. Others will follow you. And that's the most greatest gift that you can give others, is the name of Jesus. Thank you. Give him praise, church, in this house. Free will offering in this church. No plate passed around, no envelope sent to you at home. Just living off this free will offering in this church from you. Wow. It's amazing. It's amazing your hearts and your giving. I thank you, Lord, for these people who cheerfully give without anybody else seeing from their heart to you, Lord. Wow. The Bible says when you give, it shall be given back. People always think it's just money, but it's not. Whenever you give compassion or love or understanding, it is given back. You have no idea whose heart you can touch by just being kind. You have no idea whose heart you can touch by being forgiving, by rising up and showing them God, leading them to God. You can change a life that will be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Take this, Lord, for this ministry, Lord, for our lights, and to keep these doors open in this beautiful city of Derby, that we can become a beacon that the world has to come and look at, in Jesus' name. Thank you. I pray that we can all become Davids. I pray that we understand what Elijah, even a man of God, was afraid when the devil came and attacked him. But God didn't yell at him, didn't get mad at him. He doesn't get mad at us and yell at us. But he says, I have people with you. You're not alone. I have people with you. You're not alone. Just stay on the word. Stay prepared. Stay ready. And just let God lead you. Let God, if you take the wrong turn, I promise you, he will show you it's the wrong turn. And sooner or later, he will make you turn back. He will put roadblocks in front of you and make you turn back if you trust in him. And when you're being blessed, just receive those blessings and share your testimonies, because it's the word of your testimony that will bring other people to God. If you haven't told people about God this week, then you didn't let anybody else know what you know. The word of your testimony will enlarge this church, because your testimony will be, I heard about God this week and it was good. That's the testimony. That's where people come from. The word of your testimony. God is with us. He's with this church. He's with everyone who loves him, and we love him and worship him. him. But let the word of your testimony rise up in this world to your friends and neighbors, anybody that you meet. Then you will save lives and heal hearts and heal families. But you will make this church everything that God calls us to be.